This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to a technically challenged episode 233 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via the mobile phone and recorded at his end and then synchronized later from Melbourne, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you, mate?
Bruce, can you hold your tin can a bit tighter? The string's not tight enough. I can hardly hear you.
It's a bit like that, isn't it?
It feels like it. Man.
I'm not sure if the reason for the issue that Glyn and I are having with Skype is because of my son Max, but Max has been watching TV shows over his Xbox streamed over the net and has managed to burn through our entire month's worth of data allowance in 2 weeks.
Even if it's not him, let's blame him anyway, because it's good to blame somebody different for a change.
Exactly.
Now I realise I shouldn't be talking quite so fast, Bruce. I was meaning to be talking pretty slowly through the whole podcast.
Oh, okay.
After the fairly veiled insult earlier in the week.
From whom?
Well, we had the issue where the podcast was going to be late putting up or something like that. Remember that?
Yes.
And someone says, okay, I'll just write it down in fast and write it down in, and read it really fast. So it sounds like gibberish.
That's right.
I took that as a fair insult at how fast I speak.
Yes, that's right.
But it's okay, Bruce. I've got really thick skin, so it doesn't really matter at all. People think that anyway. So it's a good one, mate. It's good.
Fantastic. So, as a result, the way we're recording this week, now, of course, I'm not hearing it this way, but by the time you hear this podcast, you will hear Glyn in studio quality, just like you're hearing me in studio quality, because Glyn's recording his voice track at his end, and he's going to send it to me, and then I'm going to mix it in with my recording at my end.
Well, so that's the theory.
That's the theory.
If you're listening to this podcast and all you can hear is Bruce, it didn't work. If everything sounds like a one-sided conversation.
That'd be it. So what have you been up to this week, mate?
I've been up to a few little bits and pieces. Just been organising my shoot in the New York Fire Station. Been sort of teeing that up during the week, which is good. So one of the fire stations that responded to the 9/11 scenario.
Wow.
So I'm going to do a photo shoot in there in New York. Sorry?
You're going all Joe McNally on us.
Well, you know. Yeah, Joe's going all me on him, and I'm going all him on me. No. But no, I've just by chance, that. I've made this connection with this guy who happens to be a fiery in New York, and so it seems like a great opportunity not to miss. So doing that on October 3rd when I'm over in New York. And been organising that during the week. Of course, we set up the 30 Seconds to Infinity Facebook page.
Yes.
And I've
got to say, I am just a little bit disgusted with that.
A little?
A little bit disgusted, given that it now has more likes than the Shudders Inc. page.
Oh, that I'm disgusted. It's only got 200 likes. I was expecting the thousands by now. Because it's a cause, you know. I've even written out the sign already that I'll buy my kids a rabbit if this page gets up to 1 million likes. Right. Yeah, I'll be putting that up next week. Does it show that I feel or we feel it's more of an important issue than the general public? They just don't care enough, or they think they're happy with the cable life, as I like to call it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought Chris Bellier's comments were valid, where he said, you know, why will a camera manufacturer put, you know, $5 worth of R&D into a camera body, or sorry, $2 worth of R&D into the camera body, when they can take a $5 cable sell it for $100?
Exactly, because you know what? Someone's pressuring them to do it. That's why.
Well,
it's only going to happen if people power make it happen, though.
Well, that's true. That's true. But you certainly need a groundswell of support for it.
And then people say, "Hey, why? Yeah, tell me why." Yeah. that I can't have this $3,000 bit of plastic I've bought from you. I can't have something simple that I can do with my $49 microwave oven.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, yeah.
But yeah, so, no,
it's one of those things. I don't think anyone would argue that it couldn't be done. It's just that
I can't see any reason. I mean, I'd like someone to tell me if they can't. I was expecting someone during the week to put a post up saying, "Oh, you're an idiot. Look at this. Yeah, technical problem right there, dude." And I'd say, "Well, someone needs." I was expecting that. And I thought, "Well, because I mean, you know, me and tech, you know, we're not the best of friends. You know, we're not the closest of buddies. You know." I haven't watched many videos on the math behind aperture as an example.
Right.
Like some folk I know. How did that thrilling episode work out for you too? Last week you were only halfway through and have you finished off the...
Do you know what? I never got back to watch on the second half.
Well, you couldn't because your son's downloaded all the bandwidth.
That's right. So yeah, as a consequence, our internet bandwidth has been speed limited to something akin to dial up speeds. It's just appalling.
Yeah. So. Dear.
Do you know why I asked you last weekend if we could record tonight, Thursday night, rather than Tuesday night?
No, you just said it to me, and I said whatever.
Because. Oh. We were supposed to be being connected to the NBN yesterday and today, and I thought, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be Thursday night. We're going to have this super-duper fast bandwidth, and it's going to be absolutely awesome. I'll get the best audio quality we've ever had. And then on Monday, Optus ring me, and they go, oh, NBN Co are really swamped, and we're pushing you back to September the 11th. It's like 3 weeks.
What year?
Yeah, exactly.
Because my suburb, which is a fairly new suburb, isn't even on the radar. You know, we're looking 5-year plan ahead, and we're not even showing.
Yeah.
So,
of course, the thing is, you know, it's we've got a federal election coming up, and the Liberals are looking pretty much like they're going to take the cake.
Yeah.
And their plan is to scrap the NBN and
issue everyone tin cans
roll
and
out
string.
Some 1950s technology for us.
Tin cans and string.
Anyway.
Well, so you should have got yours in before the election. Well, hopefully you'll get yours in before the election, and at least you've got something.
Well, no, they're saying, you know, we'll be connected on the 11th, which is 4 days after the election.
That's why they said September 11th. They put the whole thing back deliberately.
But that's it.
Exactly. All the boys have got their feet up back at the office and we're not doing another installation until this thing's won.
That's it.
No point. Yeah, so another plaintive plea to our listeners, though, to come and join 30 Seconds to Infinity on Facebook if you haven't, and please tell everybody you know.
Yep, we want to generate enough of a groundswell that we can pressure some camera manufacturers to include a more advanced intervalometer into all of the DSLR blades.
Yeah, yeah. I want more than 30 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm meeting with the heads of Canon and Nikon and Olympus and Fuji and a few others in a couple of weeks at a big photo show here in Melbourne.
Right.
So I'm going to throw it to them and ask them the question. Maybe get a little bit of audio or video recording and of them answering and put it on their page. It's kind of good because I'm moderating a panel. Yeah, that's going to be firing questions at these people. So I get to ask whatever questions I want, and this is going to be one of them.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, just on a personal note, fellas, why the hell can't I have more than 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And see what they come back with. So what have you been up to this week anyway, my friend?
What have I been up to? Really, not much at all.
Sitting at home, waiting for NBN people to come knocking.
Working, yeah, exactly, yeah. Buying Springsteen tickets, as you do.
Yes. I heard you didn't get both tickets, is that correct?
I didn't get tickets for Sydney. I've just bought 3 tickets for the Hope Estate in the Hunter Valley because I said to Kath and Max that they were coming with me, so... Kath's not a Springsteen fan, but she didn't come along to the Sydney shows earlier this year, and After those three shows, I really regretted the fact that she hadn't come along.
And, yeah, now it's her turn to regret having to go watch
so,
it.
So this time I just went, nah, you're coming along.
Whether you like it or not, and he can sit there and do the knitting for the 17 hours that he's on stage.
That's it. You might not like it, but you have to come and understand what drives me.
So is she a fan, not a fan at all, and he's just dragging you along? What?
Pretty much.
Nice.
I want her to understand what it is that drives me.
Well, I've got a photo challenge for you.
Yeah?
I want you to photograph the varying looks of boredom on her face during the show and put together a collage.
What, during the show?
Well, if she doesn't like the show, I want to see all the different varying facial expressions. What, another song? What, another one?
I'm not going to be...
Is he still going?
Be stopping to take photos during the show? Bloody hell.
Have you done anything photographic or thought of anything photographic this week?
I have done no shooting over the last week, but I have been working through one of my old catalogues of Lightroom photographs,
yeah,
and just tidying up keywords and using... Who gave us the technique?
God, that I'm wonderful so... person who gave it to us.
Yes, that wonderful guy, whoever he was, who gave us the technique of setting up a smart filter that's called no keywords, and then as you add keywords to those images, so they disappear from that smart collection.
You know how unspecial he's going to feel now, don't you?
I know. That's really bad. My apologies, whoever it was.
I'm not going to go there. And do you find any gems, any hidden gems?
I wouldn't say I found any hidden gems, but it was certainly a trip down memory lane.
Yeah. I did the same this week. I found what I call my round to it file.
Yes.
One day I'll get round to it. And on one of my older hard drives, and found a couple of really nice photos. Why didn't I ever do anything with that in the first place? rather pleased. I did a natural light portrait workshop on Saturday, just gone, and it was a pig of a day weather-wise. It was just the flattest, most bland, dull lighting imaginable, and it was just no challenge. Yeah,
I know.
People love shooting in that sort of light, but for me, it's just horrible. So
yeah, right.
we got a couple of nice photos, but it was tough trying to teach a variety of lessons in light that's just so uncooperative is probably the best word for it.
Yeah, right.
So this weekend I'm up in Rockhampton, up in Queensland, and
that's
26,
right,
27 degrees. So I'm hoping there's some more interesting light to play with.
Right. And I'm not going to spill the beans on who it is, but while you are up there, I am supposedly going to be recording an interview on Sunday, which will be included in episode 234.
That's right, yes, yes.
But we won't spill the beans, just in case that doesn't come to fruition, what with my bandwidth issues. I might have to
push the interview back so I could attend, and obviously that didn't work out.
Well, we did try to do that, and we realised that the next available time was going to be, like, sometime in 2016. So we said, okay, we'll plan to go ahead with it this Sunday without Glenn, and if anything should happen to, throw that plan in the hole, which it may very well now do with the bandwidth issues.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, and hopefully it goes well. I got an interesting email or a Facebook mail this week from a photographer that I trained. Good, nice guy, nice guy, funnily enough, that's why I call him a nice guy.
Okay.
He was shooting a wedding last week down in Geelong.
Yeah.
And, he's gotten all the group shots out of the way, and he's got these couple of really nice locations he wants to go do the formal shots with. And he's given the chauffeur directions where to go, and he goes, no, I'm not going there.
And said that?
What do you mean? And he says, it's too far away. And guy goes, look, it's like 15 kilometres away. He goes, no, I'm not going that far. He refused. The chauffeur refused to travel.
What?
And take the air. Exactly. It's the first for me, I have to say, that I've heard of this.
So this is like the wedding driver?
Yep.
What?
In the chauffeured limousine, refused to drive the 15 kilometres to the location because it was too far.
Hang on. Are you telling me that the guy who was driving the car had not even discussed with the couple and the photographer in advance as to where he was going to be required to drive on the day?
Sounds like it. It's like, well, you've hired me for 5 hours. That's probably what the deal is. They've hired him for a certain amount of hours, and he's just decided he's just not going to go wherever they want him to go. So he just put his foot down.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, of course,
How to shoot your business in the foot?
Yeah, I said to Guy, look, you know, I would have said had a quiet word to the bride and said, look, you know, you got to put the foot down here because you're the one paying.
Yeah.
And what you have to say to the guy is that I'm paying, I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying we go there. You don't want to go there. I'm not paying. Choice is yours, dude. You can decide not to drive the 15K, but you're not going to be getting any money.
The thing is, with a wedding, you've probably had to pay up front.
Yeah, good point. But I'd certainly be bad-mouthing the guy to as many people as possible. So
I felt
the poor old guy. All of a sudden, he's got to try and find backup locations within a spit of where they currently are.
And, I'd just say, does anyone else have a car who's prepared to drive us 15 Ks down the road?
It's crazy, isn't it? So that was a first.
Unbelievable.
That was definitely a first for me, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear if anyone else out there has had issues along the same sort of lines. Have they, you know, maybe some other horror stories? It's always nice to hear when it happens to somebody else.
Speaking of people who are impossible to work with, I caught up with Richard Annable this week. I'm kidding, Rich. Well, I did catch up with him. I caught up with him and Tam. They were up here in Sydney for a wedding last weekend.
Yes.
So we hooked up on Monday and had lunch. It was great. It was first time I've seen them since 2 years at least.
Wow.
So it was great to catch up. So,
yeah, I'm sure. And the wedding went well for them?
By all accounts, yes. And
the chauffeur didn't refuse to go anywhere. The bride didn't refuse to marry the husband.
No.
The mother-in-law didn't decide to not go to the wedding. Oh, no, days of our lives on. I'm not going.
So, no, he had some photos on his iPhone that he'd, uploaded from the DSLR the night before, and that looked fantastic. So, yeah. It was a fun wedding. It was shot out at Bathurst.
What a funny world we live in. Yeah, you're shooting this wedding. You've got these photos on your iPhone. It's like people shooting the back of the screens on the back of their cameras to upload these photos.
I know.
Which kind of leads me to my next bit.
Yeah.
I've been looking at some industry, Nikon, Canon, information that's been out there this week, and all these Nikon and Canon are rethinking the whole mirrorless camera concept.
Oh, okay.
About its viability, its long-term viability, where it's actually going to sit in the marketplace. But part of it,
because they've seen the success that Sony and Olympus have had, and decided they want some of that cake.
Well, they've already got cameras in that space, as they call it. I hate the terminology.
Oh, okay.
They're already operating in that space. They've got the Nikon V and Nikon 1 and Nikon V1 or something like that. And Canon's got the M and stuff like that. So they've got cameras in that space. But across the board, the sales, they're just not taking off. They're just not selling in the volumes. I mean, they're selling well in Japan.
Yep.
But Europe and USA, not so good at all. You know, they're 15-20% below expected sales, which is fairly significant.
Yeah, right.
Especially when you take into account the 40% reduction in compact camera shipments that they've had.
Ooh.
40% is a fairly... But as part of this, here's the thing that I thought was of interest. The part of the 40% is Canon's just released a new camera called the PowerShot N.
Okay.
And it's Facebook ready. It's got a button on it. You can press straight away, and it uploads straight to Facebook.
Yeah, right.
So it's an actual dedicated Facebook button on the camera. But here's the weird thing about the camera, Bruce.
Yeah.
It's only available to order direct from Canon USA. You can't order. You can't buy it in a store. You can only buy it through Canon.
Okay.
Which makes me
wonder. Sounds like a product they really don't want to sell.
Or is it just that they are trying to reduce the amount of retailers in the world? Are they, yeah, they're deciding, well, because we're not making as much money anymore, we'll just sell everything ourselves. Who knows? Yeah, it's very interesting.
It just strikes me as one of those products that they've been sort of pressured to bring to market, but really don't want it to succeed.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
That's odd. So,
yeah, and the whole mirrorless thing is has to be somewhat concerning. That if they're rethinking what they're actually going to do as far as the types of cameras, maybe the product development, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, is going to be very interesting to watch. Yeah, because I know a lot of people love this style of camera. Yeah, especially people using the little Olympus OMD, the one that looks like the old Olympus OM cameras. Yep. People love that sucker. Yeah, I'm partial to it myself. But what's the development going to be like? Who knows? Mm. Really interesting. But I did come across a camera that did blow my mind this week.
What camera was that?
It was a Sony.
Yeah.
And it's called the QX100.
Okay.
And it is a camera unlike anything else ever made in the entire world of photography.
What is it?
Well, it's basically a lens with its own built-in sensor.
Wow.
Okay, so the lens and the sensor are connected together as a closed unit and has no controls whatsoever, no aperture controls, no shutter speed controls, no shutter button for that matter, no screen to see the photos. It's a lens and a sensor.
Okay.
But that's not the cool bit. It has a little thing that hooks onto your iPhone, and your iPhone controls it. It does the shutter speeds, the apertures. It shows the view.
Wow.
So your iPhone becomes the body of the camera, and you're just connecting a quality lens and sensor to it.
Right.
So Android as well as iPhone, I might add. Just totally revolutionary. Yeah, it makes sense. Everyone's got these iPhones already. Why build another body to? It can be most of these controls can be controlled by a phone anyway. So why not just stick a decent lens and sensor on it?
Yeah, right.
And it's theoretically still a rumor, but I'm told it's probably going to be announced very, very soon.
Yeah, right.
To me, it sounds just amazing. Yeah, it's like
very interesting,
a phenomenal concept.
Speaking about sensors, last week you were talking about the idea of
the rotator,
the rotating sensor, and someone posted a link. I think it was on the Shutters Inc. Facebook page about Nikon having a patent application in for a camera that does this.
There you go. So there must be a reason to want to do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that post, so I can't really comment on it. But
no, and I'm just trying to find it at the moment because with my internet going at turtle
speed.
So here it is. It was at Adam Davidson. Sorry, Glenn, but the whole rotating sensor thing has been around in the film world for a long time. The film back rotates, allowing
film backs rotate.
But then further down, Sony, not Nikon, and it appears Sony may have a patent for a rotating sensor camera. And there's a link to photorumors.com. I'll put that link in the show notes. If you go to the Shutters Inc. Facebook page and look at the posts from other people, it's in there. So, very interesting.
It's funny if I've forgotten all about the rotating backs, but I've used them myself. It all comes back to me now.
Right.
But I said they were, as you said, the sensors in those were not dramatic. It was in the film. Dimensions were not radically different. They're only 6x7 or 6x4.5. The actual, it wasn't a massive variation in sensor size. I still think there might be some issues with light fall off. I don't know why my brain just sort of sees light coming through a lens, maybe the wrong way, but it's causing an issue with it. But that kind of makes sense still, doesn't it? Yeah, you've got just to flip that sucker around. And you got some advice this week on HDR, how to do it well.
I did, but I only saw that this afternoon, and I haven't had a chance to actually go and have a look at that link yet.
Well, you should, because I've got to tell you, it's some shocking stuff.
So it's living up to expectations,
yeah,
is it?
So he's you know, how to do HDR well, and what, this is your example? Right. You chose that.
So the quest continues.
Yeah, so that was well, look, I got to say, it was not anywhere near as bad as some stuff I've seen. You know, I even tried to do an HDR yesterday, I think, just to try and do a good one to post up.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's not awesome, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But it is certainly more subtle.
Yeah, I'm still struggling to produce something great myself, so the quest continues. But while we're talking about Adam Davidson, who's been very prolific with his posting of various links of photographic interest on the Shutterthing page,
yeah.
And thank you, Adam, do appreciate it, I really do. He put one up earlier this week, or maybe last weekend, for a thing called the LED Light Cube.
Yes, comes out of Melbourne.
Yeah. I don't know if you watched the introductory video for this thing. This thing looks amazing.
It's an entire new revolution in lighting. And I've been trying to get through to the guys in Melbourne to go and have a meeting with them for the last couple of weeks, but no response from them. They're probably kind of busy.
Oh, well, that's interesting, because I've been exchanging some messages with Nathan, the CEO of the company.
Oh, yeah.
About getting him on the podcast for a chat.
Yes.
So,
why are they answering my emails about giving me stuff for free?
So when we organise something, you'll be able to then corner him and
I'll put the heat on him on the podcast. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I'll do it live so people can hear. Just he's got an audience. It's hard for him to be rude to me. Yeah,
yeah. So
that's great. It's a stunning development in off camera flash, I've got to tell you, and studio lighting and continuous lighting and movie filming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does everything incredibly well, if it's to be believed.
It looks brilliant. I mean, it's kind of like, it's a project on Indiegogo, which, if you're not familiar with it, is a bit like Kickstarter. So they're crowdsourcing, you know, the funding to get this up and running. They're looking at getting the first production run happening by November of this year, and hoping to have a product ready for mass distribution by, I think it was April or May of next year.
Well, I think that you're looking at the first shipments to be out by December, November, December.
Oh, okay. Maybe I misread that.
Yeah.
Okay,
so if you go on Indiegogo now, you can buy these things at substantially reduced prices.
Yeah, right.
As well. I mean, you can buy, I think their four light kit is like $2,500, and it's like $1,400 to be an Indiegogo subscriber.
Yeah,
and they give you four of these things and like eight batteries or something. So, they are, we should tell people roughly, basically what they do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's called the LED Light Cube. So, as the name would suggest, it is a cube that is. It sort of reminds me of the old disposable flash cubes that you used to use on your Polaroid.
I hadn't thought about that,
except this one's not. This one's not disposable. This is one that, you know, works for ages. It can be used either as a flash or as a continuous light. And like those, oh God, I can't think of the name of them. You know that thing that was it was like a gimmicky toy that came out a few years ago with these cubes, and you put them together and then these little animated human beings would interact with each other. Did you ever see or... No, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. Basically, these LED light cubes, they can slot together so you can build up a bank of them to either increase your flash power or increase your constant light power if you're doing video work with it. Anyway, look, I don't want to go into a massive amount of detail because I'm really hoping we're going to get hold of Nathan over the next couple of weeks.
Good.
To come on and have a chat, because I was really excited by the product when I watched the video.
Yeah, I want to get one in my hands and put it through its paces and do a bit of a talk about it too. So let's see what we can do. But look it up on Indiegogo, people.
Yeah. Oh, well, like I said, the link is in the posts by other people on the Facebook page, and I will put it in the show notes for this episode as well.
Speaking of crowdsourcing stuff.
Yeah.
My Luxie light meter adjustment from adapter for my iPhone arrived this week.
Oh, fantastic.
So the little diffusion panel that goes on over your forward-facing camera, or your backward, the one that looks at you, yeah. Which is it the forward-facing or the backward-facing? The one that's near the screen.
Right.
But it's excellent.
And does it work well?
It appears to be pretty darn accurate. I've only done a couple of very quick two-second tests, but I'm going to take it up to Rockhampton with me tomorrow and do it for my natural light workshop on Saturday, and I've got a constant light nude workshop on Saturday night, so I'll use it for that as well, and just see how it goes.
Cool.
But it's pretty cool. It's a neat little gadget.
Now, just today, I saw somebody, I think it was Ian Reed, post a comment about, he said, "Hi guys, love the show. Re the light meter discussion in Ep 230. Am I missing something? I have the apps Light Meter and Photometer Pro on the iPhone and have used these while playing with some old cameras and film. Photometer Pro does incident light and I've checked them against my digital cameras and an old Western Master 3 exposure meter and they all give about the same readings. Light Meter enables a coarse spot metering but seems okay. For a couple of bucks, it seems good value. Have others tried these?" So what were your thoughts on that?
Well, I use the Light Meter app is actually designed to be used with the Luxy attachment.
Oh, okay. Right.
So that the thing is, I mean, he says he gets reasonable, it does incident light meter readings. What I found with all of them is that they're not particularly good at doing incident. They're reasonable at doing reflective, like your camera is, but incident metering, not quite as accurate.
Right.
And what happens is I'm finding they're all about half, three quarters of a stop out.
Oh, okay.
And which is not that bad anyway, realistically.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go all the effort of pulling out my phone and doing a meter reading, but I've got my camera with me because it's just nice to use the camera. But as far as doing incident reading, it's just not quite as accurate. So this little adapter that I've got that puts on the Luxy just seems to just pull that half a stop or so closer. And get a lot closer as far as the actual readings go. And, of course, it's full-on incident rather than reflected metering, which is awesome.
Yeah, right.
So, and what's it? It's like $29, and you've got to carry it with you, which is, it keeps in the camera bag, so it's not the end of the world.
Yep.
But it's a, it is just that little bit more accurate. But I've definitely used the Light Meter app. It's kind of cool just by itself. I mean, you hold your phone up to a scene, you touch screen where you want the camera, where you want the phone to take the light meter reading from, and it gives you a pretty darn good accurate meter.
Yeah, right. So what's the necessity for the little dome thingamajiggy? What's that supposed to do?
I think it's just where it pulls the light from, the angles, and how it, I don't know. It's a diffusion dome effect. It's diffusing the light to some degree, so it's not, if you've got one hotter light source across the broad spectrum that you're looking at, it sort of evens out across the field.
Right.
And gives you...
So it's
gives
to
you
stop a, yeah. one particular light
This is not like a spot meter,
accidentally...
which gives you the... Yeah, which obviously is looking at one tiny spot.
Yeah.
We're still looking at a broad area, but it's trying to even out the light source across that spectrum.
Right. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so it seems to work pretty darn well.
Yeah,
and so I'll know better by next week once I've tried it this weekend up in Rocky and see what we get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you also posted a link through the week for David Duchemin's free photographic ebook.
Did you mention that? It's a fantastic. Yeah. I love David Duchemin. We should one day try and get him on the podcast.
What? I was in the process of organising to get him on the podcast around the time he had his accident.
He's had an accident, has he?
Oh, dude. Did you not hear about that?
No, what happened?
He fell about 18 feet off a brick wall.
Ow.
And landed on concrete and did some serious damage. He was in hospital for months, and the rehabilitation was really extensive.
Wow.
That was probably 2 years ago now, 18 months, 2 years ago.
Wow.
I think he was in the Middle East or somewhere. He was, off on an assignment somewhere, and yeah.
Wow. And have you heard an update to... Now he's tracking along?
No, I haven't really stayed in touch with him, and I never sort of got back and chased him up about coming on the podcast.
Chase him up again and have a gander, because I think his book Within the Frame, which I've just been rereading this last week or so, is astounding. Yeah, it's one of the best succincted books on photography I think I've ever read. He's got a free book out there, 10 ways to improve your photographs without buying more gear.
gotta love that, so
we should definitely put the link to that up there and get people to download that and have a read through, because
I will definitely put that link in the show notes. I've downloaded it myself, but in usual fashion I haven't actually got around to looking at it yet.
Oh, it's probably still downloading if your bandwidth's that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But his Within the Frame is excellent. I had a quick glance through a couple of his other ones this week, but not had a lot of time to luxuriously sit around and read books. Yeah. Somewhere between looking after two little kids and one big kid who's just come out of surgery.
Now, we heard from a long-lost listener for the first time in ages this week. The mad Mark Loader from Perth got in touch and he said, "Hey guys, re the Fuji. The firmware upgrades are the way to go, as you've found in the next podcast. They've been doing this since the X100. As for lenses, the 18-55 is remarkably good for a quote-unquote kit lens, 2.8 to 4, and the 35 f1.4 is just wonderful. The other camera you spoke of is the XE1, which is what I have along with the X100. I've seldom used my DSLRs in the last 6 months because of the Fujis. You may wish to check out the lens roadmap on Fuji's website. By the way, what is the email address for Shutter Zinc, which I've got back to him on? I've lost it. Oh, there's more I want to say regarding the X series. Regards, Mark Loader. Yes, it's me."
Nice.
Then he came back with another message and said, "Sorry, I forgot to mention, Glyn, check out Lens Mate and Match Technical for thumbs up devices for the X series. They are model specific."
Put that notes up and have a look at that too.
Yeah. I got one for the XE1. They slide in the hot shoe and you just rest your thumb in the curve. Many Fuji users don't seem to like conventional straps, and this is perfect for them. The result? No need to hold the camera so tight with the right thumb, therefore better balance and less chance of shake.
Yeah, interesting.
So, there you go.
Interesting. All they're going to do is fix the bloody right speed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Firmware update me that, please, Mr. Fuji. You know, once again, the weekend, I took three shots with it, and I know it's 8 or 9 second wait time.
It's wow.
This is crazy. You know, this is just...
3 seconds per image. That's quite an impediment.
Yes. So, they fixed that little thing, and they're onto a hell of a winner. But, yeah, but that's life, though, isn't it? There's always one little thing. Did you see that somebody also, I think it was that Buddy Davidson bloke again, posts up about the stolen image that won the Samsung Photo Award?
Yes, that was rather embarrassing.
Yes, so for the listeners out there, it's on the Facebook page, but so Samsung had an Instagram photo competition on, and somebody stole somebody else's image, flipped the image around, put a purple filter over it and submitted it as his own and won.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it seems that before they issued the prize, it had been found out, and the guy got flamed and he's cancelled his Facebook profile, his Instagram profile, and just about every other profile, and he basically told everyone to mind their own business.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's probably his. How do you know that it might be their business? You could have stolen one of their images too.
Yeah. They're the risks you take if you're going to steal someone's photo. That's the risk you run of getting completely hounded if you get caught.
Yeah, I just don't see that. What you'd get out of it. I saw a similar but very different scenario this week, and I only briefly flipped through it on Facebook and didn't really get right into it too much, but one of my contacts got the latest images of Prince, Harry William, the one who had the baby, the new official portraits. Have you seen these photos? Yeah. These diabolically bad natural light portraits.
They're taken by her dad.
Yeah, with an iPhone, possibly, but looks at the quality of them. But this girl's downloaded off the net, and re-edited the photo to make it actually look good. She said put some decent saturation, a bit of decent colour, you know, just put a bit of contrast into it. And someone's reported it at photostealers.com and got into a bit of a war about stealing people's images and passing them off as her own. And so there's no way was she doing that. It was just like, well, look how badly edited this photo is. And badly shot. Were they taken by her dad, were they?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I was like, okay, I'll cut them a break because I thought they were actually the official, proper official photos, and they're pretty bad.
No, that was the whole thing. It was like her dad was the first person to take, you know, photos, okay, other than the photos of, you know, little baby George when he first came out of the hospital.
Yeah.
These are the first photos that the world has seen.
I take back all the things I was thinking about the photographer when I saw the horrible big sort of V of bright sunshine in the middle of the princess.
Oh, yeah, they were shocking.
Yeah.
But Kath and I were talking about it, and Kath said, I think this is really good because it shows that Will and Kate are just wanting to be normal people, as difficult as you know, that can be for the royal couple.
It was certainly very real, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they're like family snapshots rather than, you know, hey, bring in a, you know, $5,000 a day professional.
You just don't know whether you'd want to release that first before an official, yeah, official portrait, because everyone's out there to criticise them, of course. So,
well, I said to Kath, maybe this is just a subtle way of setting her parents up for retirement, because they will have made a mozzer out of selling those photos because they're the first photos available.
Yeah, I think he's an airline pilot, and
he's probably not sure I have a quid anyway.
Yeah, and their £4.5 million house that they live in.
Oh right.
Yeah, I think they're doing okay.
You're probably doing all right, yeah.
So it's a decent house. I thought, gee, did pilots make that much money? And obviously so, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got for the week, my friend. I don't have a lot more on my plate, and I think my phone's going to run out of battery power soon.
Okay, then we might just wrap it up.
I didn't charge that with a plan and talking on it all night.
All right, well, you have a good week.
I will. I said I'm up to Rocky in the morning and doing a talk at the Camera Club tomorrow night, which will be fun. Then three workshops, and then back on Sunday night.
Awesome. All right. Well, safe travels.
A fast trip. Yeah, absolutely. We'll all be fine. Not that I've got a lot of control on what happens to the plane, but, yeah.
Cool. All right, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
No worries, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2u.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.